This is Maureen St. Germain, and thanks to the Dr. Pat Show, Heaven Sent with Maureen St. Germain is with you each week at this time on Fridays. Today, I am interviewing Walter Cruttenden, who is the director of the Binary Research Institute in Newport Beach, California. He's the author of The Lost Star Myth and Time, and writer-producer of the award-winning documentary film, The Great Year, as well as many articles and papers on the subject of the solar system motion, its influence on history and consciousness. Walter is the host of the regular podcast series, The Cosmic Influence, and organizer of an annual conference on precession and ancient knowledge, called CPAC for short, which features authors and scientists from around the world addressing the topic of ancient knowledge. In his early career, Cruttenden founded and served as CEO of well-known investment banking and brokerage firms. Cruttenden Roth, now known as Roth Capital, is one of the largest providers of equity capital to emerging growth communities in the world, and e-offering, formerly part of E-Trade Securities, both which specialized in the research and funding of new growth companies, mostly in the technology and biotechnology industries. Cruttenden has appeared several times on the History Channel, PBS, and many news programs, and has been a repeat guest on syndicated radio shows, especially in the alternative science field, such as Coast to Coast with George Norrie. So welcome, Walter, and I'm sorry about those technical difficulties. We're glad you're here.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here, Maureen.
So we're interviewing Walter the day before the Christmas holiday, and I'm just so grateful that he's here to talk to us. And we're going to be speaking about precession, and we're going to be talking about the cycles of the ages and how fulfilling to have that information as we approach the year end. So first of all, I'd love it if you'd explain what is precession and why do so many cultures associate it with the rise and fall of civilization?
Well, the precession of the equinox is a celestial motion that we see as the Earth moves through space. And so just as we see the sun rise in the east and set in the west as the Earth spins on its axis every day, and this produces the cycle of night and day, which changes our consciousness really from a waking state to a subconscious or sleep state every day. And just as we see the stars go around us once a year, you know, a different constellation overhead roughly every month as the Earth revolves around the sun, well, so too do we see the stars move just slightly across the sky at the rate of about 50 arc seconds per year. And at that rate, yeah, it takes almost 24,000 years to complete one cycle, if you will.
Now, as I understand it, that cycle is really like an ellipse that gets traced by the point of the axis. And the axis is at an angle into the sky. Is that right?
That's one of the observables of it. So when we're looking from our point of view, you know, we see different points of space. And the modern explanation that really sort of stems from Copernicus and Newton is that it must be due to a wobbling Earth, because both of them believe that the solar system could not move through space. They believe the sun was the center of the universe. Exactly. Since that time, we've found that, indeed, the sun does move. And so there's a new explanation that's just coming out, starting to hit a lot of the publications, and that is that it's probably caused by the whole solar system moving through space rather than the Earth just sitting there wobbling.
Uh-huh.
And this is important, Maureen, because if the Earth just wobbled, it would be difficult to understand why there's any cycle that you could associate with precession versus if it has a motion where it's moving through space, say around another star, then you can understand how there might be a cyclical effect related to that celestial motion.
Well, this, of course, leads to a backup question or a back-end question that has to do with your choices of interest. And obviously, you were watching finances for many, many years and then switched into this career. So this probably was your hobby all along. Would that be a safe guess?
Absolutely, yeah. From a little boy, I was interested in astronomy and ancient history. And, you know, I'd read about a lot of great ancient civilizations that were apparently quite advanced. Knowledge of mathematics, astronomy, great engineering, you know, in the old Mesopotamian, Harappa, Mohenjo-Daro, Egypt, etc., that all seemed to go downhill into a dark age. And so I always wondered about that because in school they taught us that, oh, things are fairly linear, caveman to modern man. And I finally put it all together.
Yeah, some of us never bought that, but keep going.
Yeah, for me, I finally got straightened out when I started to read some of the Vedic writings about this possible cycle. And then I realized the Greeks had this cycle. You know, they called it a Dark Age, Golden Age with the Iron, Bronze, Silver, and Golden Age. And then I realized in reading Giorgio Santayana's work, the former professor of the history of science at MIT, that over 40 cultures had myth and folklore about this cycle, this rise and fall of the ages. And so, yes, that did get me interested in astronomy to try to understand what caused the cycle. And so I've, you know, really, really enjoyed working in this field. And my main focus now is on the cause and consequences of solar system motion and how that ties to, if you will, to changes in consciousness. And so as I was explaining earlier, the Earth will... go through these little changes that we're very familiar with, the cycle of night and day due to the Earth spinning on its axis, and the Earth, the cycle of the seasons due to the Earth going around the sun. So too do we believe that this larger motion, the whole solar system moving around another star, causes this mythological cycle that we believe is not just mythological but has some basis in fact. And indeed, if you study closely some of the latest findings in archaeology, anthropology, et cetera, we find that there are indeed a number of discoveries happening that indicate that mankind, long before the Dark Ages, had quite an advanced knowledge in many fields.
Now we'll continue more with Maureen St. Germain's show, Heaven Sent, on the Dr. Pat Show. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Pat Basile, the host of the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. I would like to help you take your empowering message to a community of people looking for products and services that honor the dignity of the human spirit, value all life on earth, and tap into the one true freedom we have, the freedom to choose. Let the Dr. Pat Show be your conduit to a global community of people who could benefit most from your product and service. Join the buzz, be the buzz, and let our success be your success. For more information, call me, Dr. Pat, at 206-523-5522. That's 206-523-5522. Join the Dr. Pat Show, the show that is changing the lives of thousands.
Reservage Organics offers you the most advanced anti-aging product available. Our organic-based Reservatrol formula, brought to you from the heart of our exclusive vineyards in southern France, has been clinically proven to reactivate your longevity gene and help preserve your youth. By including Reservage Reservatrol in your daily regimen, you can enhance cardiovascular function, metabolism, mental acuity, and collagen production. If you want to regain your youthful radiance and enhance your longevity, do so with the world's finest Reservatrol from Reservage Organics. Why wait? Visit your local retailer and start the anti-aging process today. Reservage Organics, committed to the extension of youth naturally. Available online at www.reservage.com and at the Vitamin Shop, Vitamin World, Whole Foods Market. Visit ReserveVage.com and feel vitality today.
We're back. This is Maureen St. Germain again, and I'm here with Walter Crutton, who is speaking about the precession of the equinoxes and the new understanding in science about how originally we thought of the Earth's axis spinning, when in fact now we now understand that the Earth, along with the entire solar system, is moving through space. So now, with this new knowledge, how does that apply to the ancient history?
Well, it gives us a cause for a cycle. If the Earth just sat there and wobbled, it'd be difficult to understand what might have a dramatic cause. But when we look at the daily cycle of the Earth spinning on the axis, we can see that it affects our consciousness because our bodies are adapted to go, in and out of the subconscious sleep every 12, 24 hours. And likewise, the second motion of the revolution of the Earth around the sun, causes billions of plant forms to change and billions of animal forms to migrate, spawn, hibernate, things like this. So if you have another large celestial cycle, albeit one that moves so slowly we hardly notice it, it would also have a dramatic effect, but on a long scale. And so we think that is what is going on here, that what we call evolution, this sort of expansion of consciousness coming out of the Dark Ages, which manifests as our cleverness and technology and things like that, is actually just sort of waking up from the Dark Ages, if you will. And indeed, the word Renaissance means rebirth.
Now, some have called these 24,000-year cycles yugas, and I have often heard the word the Kali Yuga. Are we in the middle of the Kali Yuga or the end of it?
That's been a sort of a bone of contention amongst scholars. Some of the old traditionalists will say, we are definitely still in the Kali Yuga, and others would say, no, we came out of it with the Renaissance, and we're now in the Dwapara Yuga. But these cycles are fairly long, 12,000 years up, 12,000 years down. And so whether we're just at the end of the Kali or the beginning of the Dwapara, which would be the Bronze in the Greek nomenclature, we're still much closer to the lower ages, according to myth and folklore, than we are to the higher ages. Nonetheless, it appears that we're waking up. I don't know if you can hear me, Maureen, but some of the beliefs about the old Kali Yuga were that it ran for hundreds of thousands of years. And the way that modern scholars are now explaining it is that the works of Manu, one of the great old ancient Hindu scientists on this matter, should be taken at their face. So when he says this cycle is 12,000 years and he tells how to break it out, it sort of corresponds to a spring, summer, fall, and winter, if you will, of the regular year. But it happens, of course, over 12,000 years. And you're there. Okay.
That the cycles as we understand them line up with the calendar year. We have this year end and everyone makes a big deal about the cycle of December, and yet I tend to think that it's man-made, that we put it on there.
Well, we do come up with events and important dates that correspond to celestial dates. And so Christmas nowadays is very close to the winter solstice. you know, which is sort of a time of rebirth. It's sort of the point in which the days have been getting shorter and shorter up to the winter solstice, and then from that point they start to get longer and longer. And, of course, Easter was originally pegged to spring, you know, when the days get longer and longer, we're going past the equinox, when the days and nights are of equal length. And so, yes, our calendars do tie to these celestial events, although we've forgotten, you know, this very, very long celestial event. At least in modern science, we do still find a lot of references to it in myth and folklore.
We are listening to Walter Cruttendon, and I would like you to give your website and information about the conference that you give every year on this subject.
I'd love to, Maureen. The website where we do most of the science on the solar system motion is the BinaryResearchInstitute.org, just spelled out Binary Research Institute. And the conference where we bring together scientists, authors, archaeologists, anthropologists on this topic is called CPAConline.com. That's CPAConline.com. That stands for the Conference on Precession and Ancient Knowledge.
So as we look at all of these cycles, what is the big picture that you get? I mean, you're looking at an awfully big picture, bigger than, you know, even known history.
Well, I think it's an encouraging picture. It's, you know, we saw the world sort of fall apart for a few thousand years going into the last Dark Age, where, you know, every major culture that had from Mesopotamia, where you went from Sumer, Akkad, down to Babylon, and then to death, a nomadic society. Same thing with ancient Egypt, virtually turns to dust and ruin. Same thing in the Indus Valley. You know, we then go through the Dark Ages and come out, and it seems like a lot of countries are waking up. So understanding this cycle, I believe, helps us to understand history and where we've been and where we're going. And I'm the first to admit we have a lot to learn about this cycle, but I think it's a good thing.
As you look at these cycles, are we going to the expansion of consciousness?
Yes, yes. Yuktaswar would peg this 12,000 years up and 12,000 years down. He would put the bottom of it. He's sort of one of the Vedic experts at it. At about 500 A.D., and indeed, if you look at history, that is when, you know, pretty much all the great ancient civilizations had fallen. Even the Roman Greco societies are just completely falling apart by that time. And then we waffle through a thousand years of Dark Age until we, you know, knowledge starts to explode again in the 14, 15, 1700 through that period with discovery of, you know, scientific principles, gravity, magnetism, electricity, everything that sort of led to the modern world.
So, one lecturer I heard many years ago said that the last 10 years of every century carried more innovation, invention, and, you know, applications for copyright than the previous 90 years. And I often wondered, well, if that's true, then what if the last 100 years represented the last 10% of the millennium?
Hey, that's a good point. Yeah, in terms of technology and, you know, written works, you know, sheer cleverness and productivity of man, we're accelerating at an incredible rate. You know, doesn't mean all our problems go away, that's for sure. We seem to create them as fast as we solve them. But we have the ability now that we just didn't have 1,000 years ago, that's for sure.
So what can we look forward to? Another cycle, this cycle has a substantial amount of time in front of it, and yet all of us that observe it sometimes think the time is compressing. Is there any thought you have on that?
Well, the myth and folklore about the higher ages is really a beautiful, beautiful thing. You know, for example, Hesiod, the great Greek historian, talks about a time of peace and plenty on the earth when mankind lived in tune with nature. You know, this is sort of his description of the higher ages, the golden age. Others had similar stories, you know, about a time of telepathy and clairvoyance. If you look at, say, the book of Genesis, the pre-Babel age, mankind speaks with one tongue and gets along well with nature. And then, you know, as we're going into the dark ages, how does the Bible put it? God confuses the tongues. And so I don't think we can completely understand what the higher ages are like, but the hints in myth and folklore are absolutely beautiful.
On that happy note, I would be so grateful to end. I am expressing my deep gratitude to you, Walter, for joining us, and to you, my audience, for listening to this crazy cycle of Mercury retrograde. There were a few dropouts on my part, and I'm glad that we were able to complete the interview. Thank you for being with us. You've been listening to Maureen St. Germain, Heaven Sent with Maureen St. Germain. And until we meet again in the heavens, I am wishing you a million blessings this day and claiming a day of heaven on earth for each and every one of you and everyone you meet. Thanks for being with us.